Hello, I'm Dr. Alicia Power.
And I'm Dr. Maria Kang. And welcome to Growing Healthy,
a podcast about pregnancy, pediatrics, and beyond. Welcome to Growing Healthy Podcast. Today, we are lucky to have Dr. Sonia Mathis with us to talk about a very common problem, osteoarthritis. Sonia is an orthopedic surgeon here in Victoria, and we will get to this discussion right after this little reminder. The Growing Healthy podcast and website is meant for general medical information only. This does not apply to every situation. If you have questions or if you have received different advice, please contact your healthcare provider. The views expressed by Growing Healthy and our guests are not representative of any institution with which we are affiliated. Sonia, thanks for coming to talk to us today.
No problem, Alicia. Thanks for having me. This is a really common problem, which I see every day, and I think it's important to get more info out there about it.
Great. Well, let's get started. Tell us a little bit more about osteoarthritis.
Well, osteoarthritis, or OA as it's more commonly referred to in my circles, is the most common type of arthritis. It affects millions of people worldwide. It occurs when cartilage, the protective coverings of the ends of bones and joints, breaks down. This starts with roughening of the cartilage, and it can go on so the cartilage gets so thin and eventually the bone is exposed, causing bones to rub on bones, what we call bone-on-bone arthritis.
That sounds horrible.
It can cause pain, stiffness, and swelling in the joints. Some of the most common joints that are affected are the hands, hips, knees, and the back.
Do we know why it happens?
Not entirely. We think that in part it is worsened by asking the joint to do more, things like repetitive stress or repetitive use of a joint. Some professions could increase this risk. But there are also some genetic factors that seem to play a role. Lifestyle factors can definitely increase the risk of OA.
And what do you mean by lifestyle factors?
Well, weight can increase the risk of arthritis. The more we weigh, the more force is put onto our joints with even simple activities like walking. People who are significantly overweight have a 40 times higher risk of developing arthritis of their knees. Also, the longer we've been using our joints, the higher the risk of OA. So the older we are, the more likely we are to have OA.
So here's an issue that often comes up in my office is people who are struggling with osteoarthritis and are overweight say it's hard for me to lose weight because it's so painful when I move. So I usually say something like, well, why don't you, if you can get it on a stationary bike and just start slow or doing some pool work, pool running or aqua aerobics often takes a little bit of that pressure off. What are your suggestions around that?
You're right. This is a really common scenario. I can't exercise because my knee hurts and my knee hurts because I'm overweight because I can't exercise. The reality is weight loss is probably 70 to 80% diet related. So we have to focus on diet, not just exercise. There are lots of other non-impact ways of exercising, like a stationary bike, elliptical, or pool-based exercise that can help too. Many people have also tried strength training, which they can do without loading the joints, and that can help perhaps increase the metabolism while you're not exercising, which can help you lose weight.
And also support the joints that the muscles are around. So just a little plug here for a local resource is if you dial 811 in Victoria, you can actually get access to a dietitian Monday to Friday, 9 to 5. So that's a really useful one if you need some help around dietary changes for weight loss. Okay, so what about kind of other injuries, previous injuries, and that effect on osteoarthritis?
Sure, certain injuries can increase the risk of cartilage breakdown leading to arthritis. This is often an issue in the knee and the ankle, where we see patients who've done jumping or twisting injuries from sports, and that can damage the protective layer easily. Sometimes people have anatomic alignment issues that can also increase the risk of arthritis, or they had some kind of development problem when they were growing that can increase their risk of developing arthritis.
Okay, so age, repetitive use, obesity, previous injury, or alignment issues in certain joints can all contribute to osteoarthritis. What about kind of gender? Is it more common in men or women?
It seems to be more common in women, but we aren't certain why that is.
All right, so we have an idea of what can cause it and the symptoms we get from it, joint pain, swelling, stiffness, but how do we know it's osteoarthritis as opposed to another form of arthritis?
Well, osteoarthritis is the most common, and it has a pretty typical pattern. At the start, it will begin with a sharp pain, usually associated with certain activity. And the pain comes and goes when the arthritis is milder. It can often progress so that you have a more constant, dull, aching pain with periods of swelling and a sharper pain which starts to affect daily function. And then it can progress so that it can be significantly debilitating. Osteoarthritis usually only affects one or two joints as opposed to many joints, which we can see with inflammatory arthritis or autoimmune arthritis like rheumatoid arthritis. Osteoarthritis is also the most common arthritis, so that's the one that we see the most. We can confirm our diagnosis with conventional x-rays, and rarely do we need other types of imaging like an MRI, but we might do this if the symptoms are different than what we expect.
You know, it's really interesting. I often have patients come in to the office with some pretty mild knee pain or hip pain, and I do x-rays, and it's actually, the x-ray is quite severe for arthritis, or so they say on the report. I find it very interesting how the two don't necessarily correlate.
You're so right. I say this to patients all the time. We treat patients, not x-rays. So if a patient has an x-ray that shows advanced changes, but they have minimal symptoms, then we carry on treating them with their minimal symptoms. Every patient is different, and osteoarthritis can look and feel differently in everyone. So our goal is to manage your pain and stiffness to try to get you to do the things that you want to do. I often find that the patients who are active and continue to do regular exercise are the ones that do great, even though they have advanced arthritic changes on their x-rays.
So true. Movement is good. So is there anything that we can do to prevent it from happening or prevent it from worsening if we do have? So we kind of talked a little bit about movement earlier.
Yeah, I mean, I think all of us will develop arthritis in some joint as we age, but not all of us will have pain or symptoms from the osteoarthritis. A lot of people think that they should be less active to try to prevent the so-called wear and tear on the joints. But the reality is moderate activity is actually really helpful for managing symptoms. By keeping the muscles around a painful joint strong, you can take the pressure off the joint. This is especially true for osteoarthritis in the legs, like the hips, the knees, or the ankle. We can use non- or low-impact activities like walking, cycling, or pool-based exercise to dramatically improve pain and stiffness.
I had another question for you. In terms of braces, do you ever recommend kind of bracing? And if you do, how does that get sorted with the patient? How does one fit that? Because I feel like it probably can help some symptoms.
You're right, not all symptoms. So I think it's really helpful if you're going to get a brace to see a physician and get a recommendation about exactly what kind of brace to get. For instance, for knees, we have some lighter braces that provide medical grade compression, and they can be helpful for patients. And some patients who have really quite dramatic arthritis might benefit from a fancier brace, something that we call an unloader brace, which can actually change the alignment of the legs. Those braces can be really expensive, and it's really important to get advice about the right kind of brace and see somebody who's really skilled in fitting a brace before you spend a lot of money on it.
I think that's a great idea. So if we do have arthritis, osteoarthritis, and it is causing pain, what can we do to manage it?
Our goals for managing OA is to improve pain, improve patients' function. Let them do what they want to do day to day and try to slow down the progression of their arthritis symptoms. I've already talked about the benefits of staying active, but it's also really important to lose weight if you're overweight or obese. This can decrease the stress on your joints. Losing 10% of your body weight can decrease your pain by up to 50%. It's pretty amazing, and it's so great for so many other aspects of your health. Some patients find that it's helpful to use walking aids, such as walking poles or a cane can help with hip or knee arthritis or even ankle arthritis. I've briefly touched on the importance of braces because they can be effective for helping people have more confidence in their joints and taking the pressure off of damaged parts of the joint. Exercise and strengthening are very important. The knowledge of a good physiotherapist, a kinesiologist, or an exercise prescription expert can be extremely useful.
And I just wanted to point out the weight loss piece is really actually important, not only for the arthritis, but for the rest of your health. I have one lovely patient who has kind of moderate arthritis and diabetes and high blood pressure, and he's really taken it upon himself to get strong and fit and lose some weight, and his blood pressure has improved, his sugars have improved, and he's really doing a lot to extend his health, both in terms of arthritis, but in so many other aspects of life.
I think it can be so helpful for the mental health part of it too. So if your mobility is down and you're in chronic pain, you're at higher risk of having problems like depression and poor sleep. By staying physically active, you can improve your mental health, and it also gives you a sense of control over your disease. And I think that can be hugely beneficial for patients. Some of the patients that I see that are doing the best with their arthritis are those that have lost weight and taking control over their own health by doing regular exercise.
And there really are so many options for exercise. Contact your local rec center, and they often have pretty, like, even chair exercises to start with, pool exercises we talked to, and then you can continue on the spectrum as you get stronger and stronger and pain improves.
I think it's also important to point out that there are resources available, such as the Arthritis Center, that your doctor can refer you to. They have physiotherapists, a pool-based program, and they can assist with orthotics and braces if that's what's needed for your arthritis.
Great. Okay, so those are all great tips and tricks that you can get started on even before seeing the doctor. What about other ways of helping, such as medication or surgery?
So generally speaking, if you've done some of the lifestyle changes and you're still experiencing pain, we usually start with either a topical anti-inflammatory or Tylenol. Tylenol doesn't help all patients, but it's a safe drug to take as long as you don't overdose, and so we generally tend to recommend it. If these are not effective, then we move on to an oral anti-inflammatory, drugs like ibuprofen, Advil. They're used to treat the pain, but they don't change the progression of the disease. And they come with potential side effects, including damage to your kidneys, or it can raise your blood pressure or upset your stomach. So I always ask patients to see their family doctor to make sure that there are no other medical concerns that could be made worse.
And I think it's probably okay once in a while, you know, once a week if you need one ibuprofen to take it. But if you are taking it on a regular basis, multiple times a week or daily, then definitely check in with your family doctor to make sure that everything is nice and stable for you. Any other medications that you might progress to, or other alternative types of medications?
There are some antidepressants or alternative pain medications which have been shown to help with some pain conditions, particularly for patients who also have a mood concern like a depressed mood. These drugs can be helpful.
Great. Well, now what about injections into joints, such as steroids or hyaluronic acid? That's what I like to call a lube job for the knee.
Absolutely. So steroid injections can be done into almost any arthritic joint. It can work very well, especially if there's been a sudden flare or sudden worsening of the arthritis. Cortisone or steroid injections aren't a permanent solution, but for some patients who are trying to delay surgery or avoid surgery, it can be an option, but it often wears off fairly quickly. Patients always ask me, how long is this going to help me? And the reality is we don't know. Sometimes it's only a few weeks of benefit, and sometimes it can be 6 to 10 months. The lube job with the other injection is called hyaluronic acid, and that's a synthetic version of your natural joint fluid. These injections can be helpful, and they can last longer, maybe up to 10 months. Some patients don't get any benefit from these injections, but most patients get mild to moderate benefit if they have mild to moderate arthritis. They're very expensive at up to $450 per injection. And again, not all patients benefit from them, but certainly I've had lots of patients who've had good effects from hyaluronic acid injections, and it is relatively safe, so it may be something that's worthwhile to talk to your physician about.
What about natural substances that people might be looking into? Is there any kind of evidence around those?
I think the evidence is not that strong, meaning there's some studies, but they're not really that convincing that it's going to benefit all people. So I tell people if they're going to try something, you can try topical capsaicin, which has some evidence to it, but it can be irritating to the skin. Some other studies have showed benefits of oral fish oil and chondroitin. However, it's not going to benefit all patients again.
So my poor husband has not great joints, which most of his friends know, and I put him on cod liver oil for a while. He was not happy with me, let's just say. So maybe get a capsule form of your omega-3s and 6 rather than dosing your poor spouse with tablespoons full of cod liver oil.
I think that's a good health for your marriage.
So there's all kinds of talk about the anti-inflammatory nature of turmeric. Do you know anything about this?
Well, the active ingredient of turmeric is curcumin, and there is, again, some evidence for it, but it's pretty poorly absorbed in the bowel, so you need to take a supplement that has been formulated to improve its absorption in our GI tract.
And I suspect you can probably get those at most of your natural food stores. So if you want to give it a go, go and talk to them.
Certainly beyond my area of knowledge.
One little tip about the chondroitin is I do believe it doesn't matter what else it's in. So Costco has big old bottles of cheap stuff. So if you don't spend a lot of money on it if you're going to just try it out to see if it helps.
I think that's a really good point, that don't spend a lot of money about it. My husband is a family doctor. He always tells people, ask yourself 3 questions when you're considering a natural substance. Number 1, is it helping me? Number 2, is it harming me? And number 3, is it bankrupting me? Because I think that's a really important thing to ask yourself. I've had patients spend $5 a day on turmeric capsules. And if I prescribe you something that costs $5 a day, you might question it. So question these drugs as well.
And you know what? Sometimes you can do it, try it for a month and see if it helps, and then stop it. And if you significantly get worse after stopping, then maybe it was helping. But if you don't notice a change, there's probably no point in keeping going with it.
I totally agree.
All right, so we've talked about lifestyle changes, medications, injections, natural remedies. What if none of those help and you're suffering daily and unable to do what you enjoy doing in life? What is the next step?
Surgery is an option for most kinds of osteoarthritis when patients have disabling symptoms. For most large joints, the shoulder, knee, and hip, surgery to replace the joint, a joint replacement, is the most effective option. Arthroscopic surgery, which is what they call keyhole surgery through small incisions where a small camera goes into the joint, can be done in the ankle or the knee, rarely in the hip, to clean up a joint, and that's usually done if there's locking or catching symptoms. Most patients don't get any benefit from arthroscopic cleanup, and it's usually not recommended for arthritis. Total joint replacement surgery can have dramatic improvements in the quality of life for patients who have advanced arthritis and are disabled. Joint replacement surgeries are big operations, and although the majority of patients are satisfied, there are risks to the operations, and not all patients are happy. About 20% of patients who've had their knee replaced and 9% of patients who've had their hip replaced report ongoing pain after surgery. So it's really important to have realistic expectations and know that you may not be entirely pain-free after your surgery.
Can we just have a little sidebar here? Now, obviously, I'm a family doctor and I like to promote good health, so I always tell people to quit smoking. But if we've got osteoarthritis and we've kind of, I mean, they should be quitting smoking regardless, but if we're coming up to a major surgery, it's really important at that point to not be smoking in terms of healing effects on our bodies. Is that correct?
That's completely true.
QuitNowBC.ca is a great resource here in BC. Thank you for my plug. So I think we've done a pretty good review of osteoarthritis. Are there any other pearls or tidbits that we haven't mentioned that you think are important for people to know, or any new treatments coming out?
I have lots of patients coming in to ask me about two newer treatment options for osteoarthritis. The first is stem cell injections, and the second is platelet-rich plasma injections. What we're all hoping for is a treatment that can grow new cartilage. That's the dream, but it doesn't exist yet. Once the cartilage has thinned, as it happens in arthritis, there's no way to bring it back. Stem cell therapy is the idea of a cell that can divide into cartilage, and it's an experimental treatment that doesn't have any strong studies to support it yet. We don't offer it here in Victoria yet because we don't think there's strong evidence to support it. Platelet-rich plasma injections involve taking a blood sample, just like a regular blood test that you might have done at the lab, and then we spin it down and separate it into different layers of plasma. And one of those layers of plasma is rich in platelets, as well as a bunch of growth factors. You can inject this back into an arthritic joint, and for patients with mild to moderate arthritis in the knee, there's some strong studies that suggest it can be beneficial. It is, however, still fairly experimental. I've seen many patients who've chosen to have these treatments and often spend a lot of money on them and not had any benefit. They often do this in a different center or even in a different country. So I really encourage patients to talk to their physicians or an orthopedic surgeon before they consider these expensive treatments to make sure that it's the right thing for them.
It's so tough, though. I do feel for patients who are just struggling to do anything to avoid kind of that surgical intervention because they want to delay that as long as possible. But it's so true. There's so many kind of experimental procedures out there that people are making good money off of. And so really having a good, frank discussion with somebody who has no financial benefit from you doing it or not doing it, just to kind of learn about the evidence behind it. Because really, if there's no good evidence behind it, you probably shouldn't be spending money on it.
I would agree, and I think it's important to have that discussion so that you're informed about the risks and benefits of these procedures. So it might be something that you want to ask your physician about.
Well, that is some great information. Thank you for coming on the Growing Healthy podcast. It's a beautiful day out there, so I'm going to go do some moderate joint strengthening activity myself. So keep on growing healthy.